Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching entitled Hebrews Highlights was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
You cannot live under both covenants at one time. And the reason that we are so frustrated and having problems in our life is because basically the church is mixing the old covenant law with the new covenant grace. You know, there's so many things in the Old Testament. Like, for instance, David said this in Psalms chapter 51 when he was repenting of his sin with Bathsheba. And he says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and renew a right spirit within me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Create in me a clean heart." Did you know we sing that song today in church? And people sing that. You know, that's absolutely wrong. Somebody says, but it's Scripture. It is Scripture. Old Testament Scripture. But when you got born again, you had a new heart created in you. And so for you to sing, "Create in me a clean heart," well, you ought to either get born again, or if you're born again, you ought to quit singing that song and start thanking Him that He did give you a new heart. And then instead of saying, "Take not your Holy Spirit from me," instead of praying that, you ought to be singing, "Thank you, Father, that you promised you'd never leave me nor forsake me." There's a difference between those covenants. Isaiah chapter 59 says, "My arm isn't short that it cannot save, nor my ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and God." Did you know that's still being preached? And it's true. If you aren't born again, that's true. But if you are born again, then He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Your sins are dealt with. And you have to interpret this old covenant. It was showing the damage that sin did to us. And it's true. It's not inaccurate what it was saying, but it was incomplete. And now we have a covenant that has now solved all of these problems, and it's wrong for us to be praying for a new heart and cleanse me and, "Oh God, don't cast me away and take not your Holy Spirit from me," and approaching God the way that David did, the way that Moses did. You know, I could get plumb off the subject. In the name of Jesus, I am not going to do this, but I just got to throw this in. That, you know, intercession today, I shouldn't say this. Because if I say it, I'm going to get stuck on this point. Wendell, don't let me get stuck on this. But anyway, people are interceding and they use Moses as an example, the way he said, "Repent and turn from your fierce wrath, O God." The way that Abraham interceded and said, "Oh God, spare Sodom and Gomorrah. God, if there was 50, wouldn't you spare it for 50? How about 45? How about 40? How about 30? And, you know, all of these things. And people use that as an illustration of how we're supposed to pray today. And yet the Bible calls Moses a mediator. That God gave the law and ordained it in the hands of a mediator. Galatians chapter 3 calls Moses a mediator. But in 1 Timothy, it's either 1 or 2 Timothy chapter 2, I believe verse 5, it says in the new covenant there is only one mediator, and that is the man Christ Jesus. So if you try and intercede the way that Moses did to say, "Turn from your fierce wrath," if you intercede the way Abraham did, the way David did, if you pray the way that they prayed, then you are becoming a mediator between an angry God and man. And you know, it was appropriate before Christ came because there hadn't been an atonement made, so it was appropriate to pray the way that they did. Those were right for them. But under the new covenant, there's only one mediator. And if you try and pray the way that they did, then you are anti-Christ. You are taking the place that Jesus occupies. You are trying to do what He's already done for us. And the way that people are praying today is anti-Christ. It's against Jesus. Those are strong words, but they're all true. There's a difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. And that's what verse 10 was talking about. "This was only meats and drinks and divers washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation." It was okay at that time. It was the best thing at that time. But what we have now is so wonderful that it makes all of that other. Why would anybody want to go back and live under the old covenant? It's amazing. In verse 11, but Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. In other words, not something physical, a physical tabernacle or a temple, but there is a spiritual tabernacle and temple in heaven. And look at this in verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now, I'm going to make this point over and over because these scriptures make it over and over. But there's about five different times in the next few verses that the scripture makes the point that the Old Testament sacrifices offered sin offerings over and over and over. Every time you sin, there had to be a shedding of blood. Every time you approach God on a feast day, a new moon, the birth of a male child, there had to be shedding of blood. There had to be a payment. There had to be an acknowledgement of sin and an appropriation. Blood was shed over and over. And then on the Day of Atonement, one day out of the year, there were sacrifices made for the entire nation to cover all of the sins that were missed. There was just constant flowing of blood. Like on the dedication of the temple, there was over 30,000 animals killed in one day. 30,000 in one day to dedicate the temple. That's the way it was under the old covenant. But in verse 12, Jesus entered in once. There are about five times in the rest of this chapter, in the first part of chapter 10, that it emphasizes once. One sacrifice worked one time. He's making a contrast. And most Christians haven't renewed our mind. We still think that every time we sin, there's got to be a new offering for sin, that we got to go back, that we lose something. The extreme interpretation, the ultra-Pentecostal, believe you lose your salvation every time you sin. The lesser interpretation, but the same thing, it's just the lesser consequence is that, oh, you don't lose your salvation, but you lose the blessing of the Lord. God's not pleased with you. He won't fellowship with you. You can't have joy and peace. You won't get your prayers answered if there's any sin in your life. And so, every time you sin, you got to go back and reatone. You got to reapply the blood. You got to go back and somehow or another receive forgiveness for that sin. Every sin has to be dealt with individually. That's an old covenant mentality. The new covenant, and we're going to say it so many times that if you believe the Bible, you're going to have to deal with this. It is making the point that Jesus entered in once. And look at this in verse 12. He obtained eternal redemption for us. If words mean anything, he entered in one time and obtained eternal redemption, not momentary redemption, not until the next time that you sin. He obtained eternal redemption. The word redemption, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, Colossians chapter 1, verse 14, redemption, it says, is the remission of your sins. Redemption is the remission, forgiveness of your sins. So Jesus, by one offering, obtained eternal forgiveness of sins. Eternal. Not just till the next time that you sin. Jesus isn't dying over and over. This is a radical concept. And again, it shows how far the body of Christ today is from walking in the new covenant, this new and living way that God made for us, and how much we are still mixing the way it was done under the old covenant. There is a total different way to approach unto God. In verse 13, it says, for if the blood of bulls and of goats is in the ashes of an heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctified to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And I could teach on that for a long time. But you know what? You cannot truly serve the living God until your conscience has been purged by the blood of Jesus. And this is, like it says, the old covenant law in verse 9 never dealt with your conscience. It doesn't deal with your conscience. Most Christians today have not had their conscience purged because they're living under an old covenant law performance mentality basis, and you cannot have a clear conscience under that system.
That's right.
And so most of us haven't received the benefit of a clear conscience, and that's the reason that we aren't serving God acceptably is because we are still condemned and feeling guilty and not entering into the Holy of Holies and taking full advantage of the relationship that God has made for us. In verse 15, "And for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance." Again, a foreign concept to a large portion of the body of Christ. Many people in the body of Christ believe that you are saved and forgiven, and if you were to die in that state, you would go directly to hell. You go directly to heaven because your sins have been forgiven. But every time you sin, you lose that relationship, and they have developed terminologies that don't even exist in the Bible. There's twice in the Old Testament that the Bible talks about being a backslidden heifer, talking about a cow. And they have taken that and they've developed a doctrine that you're backslid. And what most people mean by backslidden is that you were saved, but you've committed sin, you haven't confessed it, and hadn't got back in right relationship with God. And if you were to die in a backslidden state, you would go directly to hell. Even though you've been born again for 40 years and walking with God, you commit a sin and don't have that sin confessed, you're backslidden and you go to hell. That is not eternal inheritance. That is conditional inheritance, momentary inheritance, depending on what you do and whether you get everything confessed. That is totally contrary to what this is teaching. That is a wrong concept. That is a religious teaching, and it is not found in Scripture. Amen. Amen. Selah, you just need to let that soak in a little bit. You know, that reminds me, I was painting a house one time for a woman, and she was a Baptist lady. And anyway, I talked to her the whole time I painted her house for a week, and she got to where she liked me, and she says, "I just don't understand why you left the Baptist church." She says, "We need nice young men like you in the Baptist church." This was a long time ago. And I said, "Well, I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they kicked me out. They asked me to leave." And she says, "What do you mean baptism of the Holy Spirit? Are you talking about speaking in tongues?" And I said, "Well, that's part of it." I said, "That's not all that there is, but yeah, I spoke in tongues and they asked me to leave." And she says, "Well, they'd have asked you to leave my church too." And I said, "Now, wait a minute." I turned over and showed her, you know, just one scripture, 1 Corinthians 14, I believe verse 39, where it says, "Forbid not to speak in tongues." It says right here in the Bible, "Don't forbid to speak in tongues." So how could you say that? And she said, "Hey, there's lots of things in the Bible that we don't believe."
That's all the time we have for today. But be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on the book of Hebrews. This teaching series was recorded at our 2008 Boston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available in a 5-part album on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for CD series R1061C or DVD series R3206D when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fourth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK-155 titled Momentary Redemption when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. And our web address is awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.